Greetings. Don't be mad. I know this is Makoto sitting here. You're coming back next Sunday? Is it a deal?
I'll be here.
You'd be. It's the end of the year, and I'd like to speak a little bit about what that means, and yet then sitting up here and thinking about coming to the pulpit with him sitting there feels wrong. I hope Sunday school teachers, you could get a copy of the sermon this morning. As Makoto and I were sitting here before we came to the pulpit, he was wondering if it was clear what the message was this morning. And it was so powerful and so beautiful about Gideon and Romans 5 about experience bringing hope. And the glory of God, it talks about there in Romans 5. And I was thumbing through the scriptures as Brother Makoto was speaking, because seeing the glory of God is what we want to look for and find in the new year. Finding the glory of God. So I was up early this morning and I was praying and I was reading, and I had to send a text of apology already this morning. Have you ever had to do that? Have you ever in the morning hour or in the quiet of the evening when you're praying and thinking, you're just convicted? Yesterday, I picked up Jordan, bring him back to the house for our family Christmas, and I was keeping a list, and I picked him up. And I was glad for the moment from the time I picked him up to the time I dropped him off at the house, because I chewed him out the whole way. Not one good thing about what should have been and could have been and might have been. And then we enjoyed the Christmas day. Then I drove him home, and we get there and I drop off at an apartment without any running water, with little heat. And I drove away, and I was just so, I'm pathetic. You know, as dads and moms and grandmas and grandpas, we keep track of things. We keep a list. And we know what could be or should be, because we have these great expectations. Kids, I don't know if your mom and dads ever do this, if they ever chew you out, if they keep running down the list of all the things you haven't done, but forgive them if they do. But moms and dads, let's remember the things that are good. That came to my mind this morning because I thought, even as you and I reflect on 17 and we think ahead of 18, we don't often look for the glory of God. We don't see the glory of God. And I would like to look at just a few. Well, I tell you what I want to do. I'm going to start with where we end sometimes. And I'm going to, I want to thank Brother John Lickley, because he was here about 4 o'clock yesterday trying to get this furnace going. The furnace was not working in this room yesterday. I think John will be embarrassed, but I think he worked till, I don't know, 8 or 9. What was it, Matt? 8:30 last night. Couldn't get it on. They were back here this morning at 8 o'clock to get the furnace on. And you and I are worried about if it's a little bit too cold or too warm. So thank you, Brother John. And then I want to thank Sister Sandy, because she keeps these facts straight. So let me read to you about our year as a church. There were 8 babies born in 2017. Bree, Elise Baylor to Clinton and Lisa. Oliver Douglas Hare to Brother Chad and Sister Heather. Trinity Brielle Langhofer to Brother Morgan and Sister Kyra. I think, where's Elise at? Is that your fourth, Clint? Can you keep going? That was just your fourth. And I think Oliver was their third, right? Does that sound right? Chad and Heather's? Trinity was Morgan and Kyra's fourth. Isn't that awesome? I think it was fourth, right? Not that we're keeping track. The fourth baby was Adelie Jane Belier, Brother Daniel, Sister Kaylin. And I think, correct me where I'm wrong, Isn't that the first grandbaby born here where the grandparents were both from Indy? Have we ever had a grandbaby born here? I mean, it kind of tells you about the age of the church and where the church is at, the Indy church growing. So we're thankful for Adelie. And then there was Jet, Michael Schwab. And that was their second, Lance and Ashley's second. And then Finn, not Finnegan, but Finn came into our life to brother Jonathan and sister Melanie, their second. And then Carter Andrew Westfall was born in December to brother Bryce and sister Andrea, their first child. And then 2 days ago, Blaze Ansel Gerber, brother Tyler, sister Janice, third. 8 babies this year. So think about seeing the glory of God. I would ask you, where have you seen the glory of God in your life? To me, to hold a child, to see new life is the glory of God. It's just an example of God. Creation. Those little babies. And then being born again is the miracle of all miracles. Being born again. The second birth. So this year, we were so blessed with 6 converts. Noah Schaefer, Adrian Schaefer, Easton Beebe, Tristan, Landon, Strassheim, Ashton, Barco. 6 converts being born again. And then baptisms, we had 6 baptisms. Brandy and Bill couldn't be here today, tending to a sick parent, but wow, what a joy baptizing Brandy and Bill was. And then on November 19th, sister Chloe Sprunger, brother Drew Kloffenstein, brother Caleb Kloffenstein, and brother Tatten Strassheim. What a joy that is. 6 baptisms, being born again. High school graduates, DeAndre and Graham Stiglitz. We had 2 high school graduates. Engagements, Allison. We had 1 engagement, Allison Rager and brother Caleb Steininger. Weddings, September 3rd was sister Paige and brother Stephen Empsch. And you know how many funerals we had? We didn't have any funerals. Indianapolis has only had 3 funerals in its history. I texted my brother Jeff Neihauser because in Morton I think they have a funeral. I don't know, I didn't get a response. I don't know how often it is, but it's often. But you know what? We have had funerals here in Indianapolis this year because some of you have laid your mothers and fathers to rest. Our family members have gone and laid to rest. We have had funerals here in our mind and our heart. And I think one of the places we see the glory of God is through laying our family members to rest. Because when you're sitting at a funeral, it is better go to the house of mourning than the house of praise, the word says. And when you sit in a funeral and you reflect on life and you reflect on death and eternity, we see the glory of God, the completeness of God. We reflect on the birth and then the born again and then the death of a saint. And boy, Brother Makoto said it so well this morning in speaking of Gideon and Romans 5 and asking us if we are at peace with God. The invitation for us to be at peace with God, to look for the glory of God. To look for the glory of God. You know, when I picked up Jordan and I was ready, I had a list and I had a few moments of time. I went to bed last night and I thank God for His grace, for the way He is with us and how He loves us and how He is with us all the time and how we have opportunity to spend time with Him and how He loves us. Oh, He does convict us. God knows who we are, and we, through His Spirit, can be motivated to change. But oh my goodness, His love and His mercy and His power and His grace. In this memory of 2017, we surely see the glory of God. Let's go look at a couple of scriptures and think about... I don't know where to go first, but this morning I went to Hebrews, and I'd like to, because you really need to go home and you really need to read through the Word and think about what does the glory of God mean. Because I would like for all of us, as you sit and think about, Brother Makoto said it so well this morning about experience bringing hope. And when your first inclination is to write about the new year, to look for the glory of God in all things and expectations. And look at Hebrews chapter 1. And then we're going to go to John chapter 1. About why Jesus came. About what fulfills His glory and what His plan was. Because we could just look at 17 and we could look at 18. But really, we want to go way back to the beginning. And then we want to look way ahead. Because that keeps in perspective the year that we've had and the year that we will have. The first verse says, God, who at sundry times, meaning over time, at different times, at sundry times and in divers manners, many manners, spoke in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days, now, lately, right now, spoken unto us by His Son, Jesus Christ, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, through Jesus Christ. Now think about this. Think about the glory. Where can you and I find the glory? I challenge you to look for the glory of God, and you're going, well, what is the glory of God? And then you go, where can I find the glory of God? What is the glory of God, and where do I find the glory of God? In verse 3 it says, "Who," this is Jesus Christ, "who being the brightness of His glory." Now I want to change that word there. It's the reflection of God's glory. Jesus Christ, it says the brightness of His glory, the reflection of His glory, and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. I love that story. I have a Sunday school teacher. When I was in high school, Sid Lehman was my Sunday school teacher. He's dying now. In fact, I should have called home. He might have passed this last couple of days. Last two Sundays ago, I was in Francisville, and I talked to his son, a good friend of mine, and he had sat with his dad the night before, and he was sitting with his father. They thought he was going to pass, and Sid said, "Where are we?" He was sitting with his wife and his son. He says, "Where are we?" And they said, "What do you mean, Dad?" And he said, "I see mansions. I see mansions. They're 200 feet high." No, they're higher than that. Where are we? Oh my goodness. What must it be like? This says that in times past, the prophets came to told us of God and His plan. About the glory of God. And then He sent His own Son, Jesus Christ, the brightness of His glory, the reflection of God's glory to the earth. Why? That while we were yet sinners, we were saved by the blood of Christ. And then it says, that then verse 3, it says, then upholding all these things, when He had by Himself purged our sins. You see, you and I's sins are redeemed. When that was done, He died. He arose to a new life. He ascended to heaven, and now He sits on the right hand of God. You see, that is our future state. That is what His plan is for you and I. That we would see Christ. That He would come and we would see Christ. That is His desire for you in 2018. That is always His desire and His plan, that you and I would be at peace with God and redeemed, and our sins are purged. That is His plan. Now, you see, when we put that in perspective, When we see the glory of God, the glorification, the fulfillment of God, then everything else that comes our way is in proper perspective. We have doubts. Brother Makoto spoke so well of it. We doubt. That's who we are. What is wrong with me? What is wrong with my life? What must I be doing wrong that this has taken place? And oh, Christ comes and He says, I love you. This is my plan for you. Look for my glory in these things. Oh, that's what I hope for all of us, that our roots are deep and that we have enough faith that we say, I have no idea what's going on now, but I know that God is in these things. And I know, I believe, and experience has brought me the hope to say that He is with me now. Yes, now, where I am, where we are. That's the reflection of the glory of God. Let's sing something. I almost forgot. About 289, the love of God. Let's sing that hymn.
Oh,
let's kneel down. Let's pray. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we are thankful to kneel together as a church. We're thankful, Lord, for a warm church. We're thankful for the freedom that we have and that we can assemble together, for our health and for the grace that is given to us. And we list those things in the wrong manner, not in order of importance. Lord, we're mindful of, at least in part, of what's been done for us. And Lord, what we've been blessed with. And Lord, we're so sorry that we take things for granted. And we're stubborn and we're proud. Lord, we repent of that. And we pray that at this year end, Lord, that we would put things in order, that we could somehow trust in Thee, that we would be aware of Thy presence, that we would ride with Thee, that You would be our personal Savior, and that we would listen, Lord, and that we would learn, and that we would enjoy Thy grace, that we would crave Your presence, that we would see Your glory. So we thank Thee, Lord, and we pray for the families that are getting together yet, and we pray for a blessed time of reunion and of oneness and joy and peace as families and as individuals, Lord, first with You. So hear our prayer, Lord. Bless our time together yet. We thank You for Jesus, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank You. Well, it happens every time. I'm all excited about the Word of God, and I want to be kind of a teacher, and I want to just walk through and enjoy, and then I sit down when we're singing and I'm feeling like I must sound like I'm mad. I just hope not. I got to always say that, because it is just, this is so powerful. And I love watching. Did you say you're 37? You're 37. He seemed like he's 27, but you're 37. And I loved, if you didn't hear him talk about getting older, you got to listen to it this morning. I was torn between laughing and standing up and saying hallelujah. It was just so true, and it's so real, and it's just life. It's living life. And so understanding and digesting what His glory means to us, what His grace means to us, all of these things working together for who He is. And the experience that Brother Makoto preached about in Romans 5 is exactly what life is. Experience brings about hope because we learned about His glory, about His power. So read with me. Let's go to John chapter 1. Just, you could say this about every chapter, that, boy, this is it. But I peeked ahead this morning to John chapter 1, verse 14, and I'm going to read that with you, and then we'll go back up to verse 1 again. But look at what verse 14 says. And the Word, now you're going to be reminded in a minute, the Word is Jesus Christ. And the Word, big W, the Word, Jesus Christ, was made flesh. We just read about that in Hebrews. And dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the word glory, we beheld His glory, and the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, and then full of grace and truth. So what is glory, and where do we find it? And what comes first? A recognition of His glory, so then we seek it, or do we seek it in faith, and then we realize His glory? Which is it? What comes first in your life, and where have you found and realized the glory, the power, the magnificence, the victory, and the majesty of our Father? How about the holiness of our Father? When we approach His throne, when we come to know Him and we sense His holiness. But then how about this? How about reflecting on His righteousness, of our salvation being His righteousness, not our own? When we come to the place where we realize that He has paid the price and that we are His. Full of grace and truth. Oh my goodness. If somehow we could make a, right now, we could make a holy hop to a place that we have not been. It's like being Pinocchio. Have you ever read a verse in the Bible where you've read it 100 times before? You've read the verse, and all of a sudden something's happened in your life that you open up to that scripture, or you hear it in a song, or you hear a minister talk about it, and a light bulb comes on. You see that verse in a way you've never seen it before. See, that's experience. That's living life. That's God's Word coming alive. This is the power of God. That's like being Pinocchio. For me, it's like being Pinocchio. It's like being a boy, but not a real boy. And it's like finally understanding and becoming something that we weren't before, alive. That's what John talks about. So let's read the first few verses together. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, Jesus Christ, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Pause. So, What are we pointing to? I would like to, this afternoon, point to the glory of God. You see, I ask you to come in faith and seek Him. Yet the Word says that He is there all the while in His grace. He goes with us, He's been with us, He's with us now, and He will go with us. It says in the Word that He stands and He knocks. He is with us all the time. Yet we in faith, that seed of faith, we must seek Him. I don't know how much is up to man and how much is up to God, but the two go together. And He says, and I ask you, that we in this year, in this coming day, right now, that we would seek our Father. You don't have to have a PhD. And no, boy, don't listen to the devil when he says you're just not good enough. Don't look around and say that person has got it all together and I am not worthy to come to him, because that's not right. We come to Him in a seed of faith to our Father. That's what His desire is. You see, that's the holy hop. It's not a big hop. It's not a lot of work. It's faith where we seek Him. We put on our... I know this is not accurate, but I say put ourselves in a position of grace. All I mean is that we just seek Him, right? We take the time to go to His Word and to pray and to be here and around the Word of God to seek Him. Because that was His heart for us. It was His heart from the beginning, and it's His heart for us today going into a new year. That we would see His full glory, full of grace and full of truth. You see, that's an invitation. That's just not a preacher preaching. That's His plan. That's His invitation. That's the Word of God, the promise of God, and why He came. But see, the problem is that He came. He was life. He was there at the beginning of creation. He created all things with God. And the light shineth Him in dark. It shines. He is the reflection of the glory of God. But then what happened in that last verse? And the light shines in darkness. The light is real. The light is your way home. The light is your path. The light is your purpose. The light is your way. And then it says, but the darkness comprehended it not. See, there's something about us as people, in our fear, in our lack of faith, in our pride, where we don't comprehend it. We don't get it. Some of us say, well, I'm just not very bright. Or some of us say, I just didn't understand in school. Or some of us say we weren't taught well at home, our parents didn't care. Oh, but Christ came that all would be saved. That we would hear the Word of God, that we would approach it, that we would receive it in faith. But He said it's a common problem of man that we didn't receive Him, that we comprehended not. So what's God do? Does God say, I did my part? Does He say, fooey on you if you're not going to receive my gift? No, man comprehended it not. So what did He do? He sent someone. In verse 6 it says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might respond, might comprehend, might believe. All men and women, all would know him. It says in verse 8 that John the Baptist wasn't the light, but was sent to reflect the light, to bear witness of the light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was not in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Right, are you following this depth? This beauty, this invitation about what happened and what He wants for you in 2018. What He's laid out for us. His love and His grace, full of grace and full of truth. The world was made by Him, but the world knew Him not. Isn't it silly? Isn't it silly? But as, now look at verse 12. But as many as received Him, that seed of faith, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on His name. Which were born again, not of blood, second born again, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, and the glory of the only begotten of the Father was full of grace and truth. I'm telling you that being born again is essential. I know you know this, but think about this a minute. This is not talking about life where we learn and we get a PhD and we do great things and we get better and better, because that dies and that is gone and that burns. But this is a life, a spiritual life, being born again. We don't get religion. We don't repent to get religion. We repent to change. When we are adopted, we're adopted by Him. Christ becomes more than our Creator, but He comes our Father, our Savior. We are legally adopted. Our name changes. This is not about religion. This is not about being a member. This is about change. This is about becoming a new person. Our name changes. We are legally adopted. We inherit all things of Christ. We are redeemed. We are saved by the blood of Christ. His invitation, His desire is that all men would know Him and be adopted. This is essential. This is what we should be teaching in our homes. This is what we should make priority in what we plan and what we do and when we eat and where we go and who we're with. This is essential. This is what He wants for us now and in eternity, and how we plan our day. It's just so, it's so powerful, and it's so real, and it's so changing. It's being Pinocchio and coming into real life. It's being dead and dying and dissolving without purpose, without security, but being alive. Breathing into us life, being born again. That is the glory of God. How can you explain that? I want to explain. I want to draw a picture for you of the glory of God. And I can point to things like birth, salvation, death, But Makoto said it so well this morning in reflecting on Romans 5 and the life experiences that we have where we learn about Him. And we fight through our fear, and our fear moves from fear to faith and our trust in Him. The power of our Almighty God. It's simple. It's simple, but we make it complicated. He came that we would believe. The world comprehended it not. He came and He was light to darkness, but the world saw it not. And so for all of us today, as we close out another year, He says to you and I, comprehend. Maybe not comprehend. Maybe believe. Maybe let me show you my glory. Maybe seek. Maybe humble ourselves and we lay it all at Jesus' feet. And we quit trying to fix it ourselves and we quit blaming ourselves and we blame other people, but we just come to Jesus. We finally open up our hands and we say, Lord, I'm tired. Lord, I got so much to learn. I just lay it at your feet. And this year, Lord, this is the year where I want to see the fullness of your grace and your truth, the glory of God. Man, that's His promise. That's what He wants for us. That's His future state and His desired present state. For all of us. For all of us. And when we get discouraged, and we will. You know we will. You know we will. You know we're going to wake up in the middle of the night fretting. You know we will. You know we're going to go to our knees and we're going to wrestle and we're not going to hardly want to eat. And we're going to have times this year where we're worried. But oh, if we can just through experience run to Him a little faster. Supporting one another in the power of prayer and a helping hand, we can see the glory of God. That's how we see the glory of God. I think about the example of John. John came as an example of the light. Are you an example of the light? Are you willing to be an example of the light? Are you one of those people that when you walk into the room, you suck the air out of the room and you kind of dampen the whole mood? Are you one of those people that don't reflect the light of God at all because you're just a Debbie Downer all the time? You know, I am sometime. I'm thankful for a good wife that kicks me now and then. Or when we talk and you say, what are you doing? I mean, that's how a church is supposed to be, the brothers and sisters in Christ, where we reflect the light. That we're like John the Baptist in some way, where we're not the light. We know we're not the light. We know we're not it up to up. We know it's God's thing, but we reflect the light. Oh my goodness, to wake up in the morning and say, Lord, here I am, send me. I am pathetic, but I want to reflect the light of the gospel. Your glory today. Your glory today. Because it's about Him. It's about Jesus Christ. It's about His salvation. It's about His grace. It's about His truth. You see, that will sustain you and I this coming year. That is our security. That is our identity. That is our strength. Let's help each other. Let's help each other. Let's adopt one another as He adopts us. His grace is sufficient.
Wonderful message. I miss hearing Brother Kim preach. I really do. And when I have this opportunity to hear, it warms my heart. I'm sure you feel the same way. There's not much to add or anything that I can think of, really. One thing I was told that when you come up second, don't over-preach again something that's been preached. I certainly do not want to do that. Just one thing only. is that in here, he talked about reflecting. And John, St. John, was there to reflect that light to show other people who Jesus was. He did that very well. And I think he had his doubts too. I think going back to this morning, I think he had his doubts too, because when he was in prison, he wanted to make sure that who he thought was the Messiah was indeed the Messiah. And he sent people to ask Jesus to confirm that, right? I pray that this coming year, that we have some portion of our focus is about reflecting. Matter of fact, all of our focus, if possible, is about reflecting who Jesus is. And think just a little less about us. And not be so consumed with our own earthly being. It's a challenge for me. I think of like, how are my kids doing? How is our business doing? How is our church, quote unquote, how are people doing? And we get all like caught up on those things. I pray that we just simplify, as Brother Ken said, simplify. And let's just think about how God can be reflected, how Jesus can be reflected through us. And let just a little less about ourselves, but more about Him. And I think it brings great change in ourselves. And so, you know, as he was mentioning all these wonderful things happening in this congregation, all these births and marriages and baptisms, and, you know, I think it's wonderful. But I pray that it's not just those life events that, you know, make us think about change, but I pray that it's an everyday reality to think, how can I reflect God this day? Sometimes when we don't have those changes in life, those wonderful changes in life, you think it's stagnant. My life, nothing is happening. God's not using. What's the point of me being here? I think you can go in those spirals. But I think if we could just think less about ourselves, the frequency, and think, how could I reflect God's glory? And then you'd be surprised how much change will take place in our lives. I think I know just very little of this, because I don't do that well of this reflecting God's glory, that particular thing. But when I do, I know it changes me. Sometimes I wonder with my timid heart, what if it so changes me that people can't recognize who I am? What if like there's a weirdo out there that says talks about God and so different than what he used to be? Sometimes you even fear that, which is so foolish to even fear, right? Because God changes you, and He changes you for the good. He's preparing you for heaven. Be willing to be changed. It's okay. Just get over it. I'm telling to myself right now, get over yourself. You don't have to be great in man's eyes. You don't. At the end of the day, no one cares. What matters is how God changes you in your life. I mean, that's what matters, how He works in your life. To recognize it, worship Him. That's really all that matters. Right? So I'm telling myself, get over yourself. In 2018, I desire that I get over myself just a little bit more and let God change me and let His glory reflect a little more. Let's choose us, Him and someone to pray. And thank you so much for this. It's a blessing to be here. It really is.
Heavenly Father, we just come before Thee at the close of this afternoon service to thank Thee, Father, for our ministering brothers, for their willingness to stand before us, and for the words that Thou hast sent through them, and we ask that Thou give us the grace to apply Thy truth to our lives, and to just not go doubting, but to just trust in Thee, and to just do Thy will, Father, and we just thank Thee for all the wonderful blessings Thou shower upon us, and ask Thou go with us throughout the rest of this week. Just grant us the grace to do what is pleasing in Thy sight, and we thank Thee most of all for Thy plan of salvation, for sending Thy Son to this world to die upon the cross and shed His blood for our sins. We ask Thou please add to this prayer that which is lacking. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.